excited about the matchups that we're going to. I think you're going to see a lot of really good matchups in this game, of really good on good. You know, there's a lot of good on good out there that's going to be happening in this game. And so, you know, that's what the NFC Championship game should be. You know, it's going to be good on good, and it's going to be tight.
Missed an interview or want to hear it again? Catch them all at knbr.com/podcasts. Now back to Murph and Mac on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Thank you, Waterboy, for reminding us of the Bay Area great, and somewhere Dwight is smiling and probably out singing Huey too.
Good,
by the way.
Good thought. I like
so
that.
Speaking of which, as I was doing our little Merrill Reese bio, listen, the guy's a legend. 1977, he's been doing the Eagles till 2023. But Paulie, he also was a former music DJ, so we'll have to ask him a little bit about that.
Nice.
But hey, Merrill, it is an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the Murph and Mac Show. I know you came on earlier with our buddy Greg Papa on the show, but to have you on the morning show on the Niner flagship, Brian Murphy, Paul McCaffrey, the Murph and Mac Show, we're happy to have you, Merrill, and thanks for coming on. How you doing this Friday morning?
Good morning.
I'm doing well, guys. Nice to be on with you.
It's a real pleasure. And hey, before we get into the Eagles stuff, am I correct? You have a little music DJ in your background? Because Paulie Mack here, my partner, is a former music DJ too. We talk a lot of music on the show.
Nah, I really wasn't. I think it might say it in Wikipedia. Back in my college days, when we were all doing everything at the campus radio station, I might have played records for an hour at some point.
Yeah.
That was it, but I really wasn't a
darn it. Party. I thought that Wikipedia. You can't trust that Wikipedia.
You really can't trust it.
I mean?
No.
Yeah, it also says you were landed on the moon at one point
right,
in 1969.
And you're a nuclear physicist as well. Is that true?
No. Yeah, but it didn't mention that I won the Masters, did it?
No, they left that out. Yeah.
All right, Merrill. So how would you gauge the mood of the city of Philadelphia? Because it's our impression, maybe we're wrong, but it's our impression that the Eagles are feeling pretty good about this and that they're feeling better than even a 2.5-point spread. Is this right? Is there a large amount of confidence in Philadelphia?
It's confidence, but it's what's always here before a big game and a great season. That's all. I mean, the city's bonkers. It's crazy. It's all revved up. But they are. The fans are great fans. They're passionate fans, and they go crazy before every game. But it's the kind of thing, it's the kind of city, and I don't say this as a criticism, just painting the picture as it exists, where if the team is having a good season and they win 4 or 5 straight games, the fans take the feeling that they will never lose again. And then they'll come up with a clunker and they'll lose a game and they're convinced that, boy, this team is going down the chutes. They're really a mess. So naturally, coming off a season where at this point they've won 15 games, they're convinced that they're going to win by, you know, a couple of touchdowns. I'm not saying they. A lot of people are overdoing it. They tend to overemphasize the good, and then when the bad comes, they overemphasize the bad. So it's just typical fan stuff. I think most of us who are really looking at this game and trying to analyze it and figure out which way it's going, come away with the feeling that it's going to be a very, very close game that could certainly go to either team.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles are the best team the 49ers have played this season.
Yep.
And I think it's fair to say that the 49ers are the best team the Eagles have played this season. So we'll see.
Right.
And then the other thing in the matchup, I may be a little bit long-winded here.
No, we like
people
it.
People say, well, how about the big difference between Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts? And there's certainly a significant difference because Jalen Hurts is in his third season. He has really come along this year and reached elite status. He's a top 5 quarterback in anybody's honest evaluation. Brock Purdy, meanwhile, has started 8 games. He's won them all. He's a guy he's a rookie. He's not asked to be the motor of this team. He's there to facilitate things and be kind of the point guard. But the last I checked, Brock Purdy is not playing against Jalen Hurts. He's facing the Eagles' defense, and Jalen Hurts is not trying to overpower Brock Purdy. I mean, unless they want to arm wrestle or something before the game,
right.
Jalen Hurts has got to beat a great San Francisco defense. It's that simple.
Right. Great breakdown from Merrill Reese. He's been doing the Eagles since 1977. He knows the deal. By the way, 77, a good year in Philly. Rocky won Best Picture. right? So, hey, Merrill.
Okay.
Merrill, yeah. Are you okay with Niner fans are steal? They're so Brock Purdy crazy. They've stolen the Rocky poster and calling him Brocky.
Oh, Philly must be so mad about that. I can't even imagine how upset you guys are.
I'm not. I think it's great.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I think the more of that stuff, the more the fans enjoy it, get into it. I think it's great for the game. I really do. And I think that everybody here, I mean, any fan who's, rather than just some wild person who falls out of a bar and is screaming, you know, E-A-G-L-E-S, every serious fan realizes that the Eagles are going up against a real quality team.
That's good. You know, I'm looking, Merrill, at the last time the Eagles went to the Super Bowl was 2017 and the famous Philly special and knocked off the Patriots. But, geez, if my research is correct, not a lot of – Brandon Graham was the leading sack guy on that team. Other than that, I mean, it's a whole new – I mean, you guys did it. It's interesting. Is you did it with Nick Foles, LeGarrette Blount, Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, Torrey Smith. I mean, I would imagine you would say this Eagles team, talent-wise, is better than that team.
I think they are. Yeah. I think they are. I think they have the best pair of wide receivers that they've ever had in the history of the franchise with the Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I can't think of two who are better. Now, I work with Mike Quick in the booth. He's my color analyst. And Mike teamed up with a Hall of Famer by the name of Harold Carmichael. So people say, well, how about Mike and Harold? And I say, well, go back. And Mike's first year, he caught 10 passes. And it was Harold's last year as an Eagle, and he was kind of winding up his career. Now, if maybe you put those two together at their prime, now we're talking about, competition. But as it is, there have been some very good pairs, Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson. But I think this pair is better. And if you team them up with the Dallas Goedert, that's quite a trio. Dallas Goedert is a great tight end. I mean, you've got the best. You've got George Kittle. I don't think there's anything like George Kittle. But I think Dallas Goedert deserves a mention in among the best tight ends in the league with perhaps George Kittle and Travis Kelce. And I think Mark Andrews of the Ravens is very, very good. And I think he deserves to be in that conversation. Dallas Goedert's a great player.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Yeah, it's just really a stacked team up and down. And I start thinking about how this team got put together. I mean, the stat that jumped out at me was so amazing is that six of the defensive linemen are former first-round picks. And it's like, I mean, the high picks, too. And that includes
a lot of talent.
Ndamukong Suh and all those guys. Yep. And you talk about the trade for A.J. Brown being a great receiver and one of the best in history, Eagles history. So, Merrill, could you tell us a little bit about Howie Roseman, the GM, and how he assembled this team? Because taking Hurts in the second round, if you remember how the city reacted to that, how he assembled these D linemen, and then the trade for AJ. I mean, this guy, Howie Roseman, should probably be taking a victory lap.
Well, he has just been named the executive of the year.
Well, but there it is.
I congratulated him the other day. I saw him in the cafeteria, and I said, Howie, great, great year. Congratulations. And he said, I'm not taking any bows yet. He said there are two very, very big games, at least one to play.
Yeah.
So it's not all over. But, again, he was the executive of the year when they won the Super Bowl at the end of the 17 season. And then 2 years later, they were, falling backwards and people were ready to run him out of town. So it's a world of what have you done lately. So lately he's done some great things. Now you look at what this team accomplished this year. I was asked and tarred and feathered on your show the other day because they asked me to name the weaknesses of this team. And I said, overtly, there are no weaknesses. And the reason there are no weaknesses is because in the off season, Howie Roseman made a couple of big additions, none bigger than bringing in Hassan Reddick, who has been prolific. He's got 16 sacks. That's a big difference. Yeah. They were kind of weak at safety. And right before the season, who did he add? He added Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who, even missing four or five games, is tied for the league lead with six interceptions. They've bolstered it in so many different areas. Jalen Hurts made a great jump from last year to this year. And they made a pickup. The Giants didn't re-sign James Bradbury. He's one of the best corners in the NFL right now. So you look at the additions, and then the great trade that put them over the top offensively for A.J. Brown, which I think got John Robinson fired as the GM of the Titans. But that was a great move. So if you look at this team on both sides of the ball and the way that when maybe the defensive line was getting run upon earlier, they went out and they picked up Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. So they've done all the right things. So are they weak in any area? The answer is no. But that doesn't mean they're going to win the game because I think the 49ers, to me, I don't see any glaring weaknesses on the 49ers.
Right.
The team that plays the best, that gets the break at the right time, that comes up with the turnover, that's who's going to win this game. But they're both strong teams, and if these teams had glaring weaknesses, they wouldn't be playing on Sunday.
Merrill, that's an entirely reasonable take, and you're going to get, crushed for being a reasonable man, Merrill. There it is. No, it's really good to hear a veteran NFL voice talk about it. And I
see, when I said that the other night, the next thing I heard was, well, I got rid of him. I didn't want to hear that. Papa was ready to say, he threw me off the air.
Oh, he did?
Wow. Well, you don't get that kind of hostility with Murph and Mac. You're more than welcome with us. Yeah.
We're gentlemen.
You can hang out with us all day.
When he quickly ended the interview, the engineer left on the phone so that even though my mic was off, I could hear him say, well, I got rid of him.
Wow. Okay. Well, Merrill.
That's nice.
When you
just
see,
don't ask me to go on again. I'll go on with you guys any day.
Well, there that's it. The door's there always open, Merrill. You're with us now.
And you know what? Yeah. He's going to come to Philly, and you might want to head down to that booth a couple doors down and say, hey, Greg.
You let him know who runs things back there.
A little something for the effort. You know what I mean?
If he wants to come in our booth, he can, but I'm charging admission.
Nice. Nice, Merrill.
Well, you know what? Yeah, it's great stuff, Merrill. Really, really fun, man. Well, listen, you've earned your accolades as one of the great voices in NFL play-by-play history, and it's great to hear you. And, I hear you, and I think about the other great Philadelphian who we had on back when he was still going was Harry Callis.
Oh,
and
please.
Did you guys have a relationship, Merrill?
Oh, sure we did for many years. Harry was a wonderful, wonderful man and passed away way too young. But Harry was a great guy, and Harry was certainly a friend, a wonderful, wonderful broadcaster.
You know, he would tell us, because he would do the Phillies, he would come to town in San Francisco. There was an old bar called Lefty O'Doul's, Union Square. It had a piano. And Harry would say to us, he'd say, well, I just came to town, and as soon as I get off with you guys, I'm going to head over to Lefty O'Doul's, and I'm going to sing High Hopes.
Oh, you didn't have to push him too much to sing High Hopes.
All right. Now, well,
in fact, I think they still play at the end of Phillies games sometimes. They still play the recording of Harry singing High Hopes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty awesome.
That's really cool.
Well, that's been a big 4 or 5 months for Philadelphia, because those Phillies fans lit up the baseball landscape in October.
Oh, man.
And now here you guys are in the NFC Championship hosting it. So it's a pretty high time in Philadelphia.
You're on a national stage.
It is, but you know what? The Phillies were great, and nobody expected them to go as far as they did.
Yeah.
But they didn't win the World Series. I tell people, the best thing in the world as a fan, as a broadcaster, as a player, is to win the Super Bowl. You get up the next day and you feel great. And the worst thing in the world is to go all the way to the Super Bowl and lose, because I've been through a couple of those, and you wake up the next morning, you don't even want to get out of bed. there's a high, high, but a very low, low.
So true, Merrill. And we remember 1980, you'd got it from Al Davis and the Raiders, but then 2004, Brady got you, but 2017, man, you woke up and you put those feet on the ground. And you smiled. So,
I did. And that was amazing, because we never saw that coming.
No, well,
when Carson Wentz got hurt that year in Los Angeles, everybody was saying the season's over.
Well,
there goes the postseason. And Nick Foles came in and he struggled for a little bit, but he got hot in the second half of the first playoff game.
Right.
And then he had a great game against the Vikings in the NFC Championship. And he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. So who knows? Who knows for any of us? I just know that on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock our time, noon your time, there are going to be two excellent football teams playing, and may the best team win.
Well, the old line, unscripted theater. That's why we love sports. Unscripted theater. So,
it is.
Merrill, have a great
having
call.
You, Merrill.
Really wonderful to hear your voice, and thanks for coming on.
Great being on with you guys. Take care. Anytime.
Meryl Reese. Boy, that was a very civil and gentlemanly conversation.
I would go so far as to say that's a gentleman's gentleman right there. You know what I mean? He's a working gentleman. And I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised like Greg Papa was so harsh with him. Maybe G Pop is just rolling up saying, like, I got to protect my broadcasting turf. I don't know.
All I know is that we can only control what we can control, Paulie.
That's correct.
And that's our friendship with Meryl Reese.
Yeah, no, that's in very, very good shape.
Now, that said, Sunday come kickoff time.
All bets are off.
It's time for Fred Warner and Deebo Samuel and Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell and
all
Kyle Shanahan.
All of them.
And Tara Lanoa Hufanga.
All of them.
Wait a minute. Did I say all those guys? All those guys have songs.
Come on, man.
And you'll hear them next on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports League.
Man, let's go. I see y'all in Philly. Let's go.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.